Well, I believe the Lord's worthy of our adoration and praise. He fought the battle through for us and provided something for us that we couldn't get on our own. I'd like to look at some verses in John, Gospel of John, the 7th chapter. It's interesting to note the words that Jesus spoke in the temple and to the Pharisees. Some of them were pretty direct, but there's so much, a lot of truth revealed in those words and things that Jesus spoke. But I'd like to look at John the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. It says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." I want to notice these verses here just a little bit. He not only says it here, but in a lot of different places he said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And he said, "I don't speak my own words. I didn't come to do my own thing. I'm giving you what I have seen of God, what I have of the Father." He acknowledged that openly, that what he was teaching was from the Father, not just his thoughts and his ideas. I want to notice verse 17. It says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." Now, that's an encouraging verse. If a person is interested in serving God and doing what God wants them to do, they'll be able to tell whether the words that someone declares is of God or whether it's not of God. And I believe, you know, if a person is doing the will of God and seeking to do the will of God, they're on the right track. And I believe the Lord can lead them. I believe the Lord can teach them. And we have the promise that the Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us into all truth. And He would help us to recognize truth and to know the truth. And He said the truth would make us free. So if a person is desiring to seek God and to know Him, God has a way of revealing Himself to that individual. And I thank God, I thank the Lord for that today. Down in La Ronde, I was able to visit with Brother Marty one evening, and he was telling me about, he's been corresponding with some people in Pakistan, and this woman had gotten saved, and she's taken children off the street. She doesn't have a lot of the understanding of doctrine, as far as doctrine goes, teachings. But she has a love for God, and she's doing things that she knows that would be a blessing to God, to help children, and God is leading her and teaching her. And it's wonderful how Brother Galen mentioned David Kramer, You know, it's amazing how God can speak to somebody at a time. Now, I want to, because the same thing happened. I wasn't at a rock concert, but I remember I was in a worldly atmosphere in a worldly event, and I know the Lord spoke to me. You know, it was just the Holy Spirit. There was a lot of commotion and things going on, but the thought came to me is, and we were standing there, and I was watching all the things that were going on, and it was like, you need to give your heart to the Lord. That was what I felt. That's what I felt in my spirit. I didn't hear any words, but I felt in my spirit, that's the communication that I got. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord. And so I know God can do that. And once a person begins to respond, He's able to teach them and lead them into His truth and in His righteousness. Now I want to look at verse 18 also. It says, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." Now, I believe it can be, I believe that the correct rendering is probably "from himself." The Diaglot uses the word "from," he that speaketh from himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, somebody speaking from themselves to me would be probably of the flesh, would be lacking divine, being called of God, lacking divine unction in his life. And we know Jesus, he was called of God. He spoke by the Holy Spirit. God worked through him. The things that he said were true and right. But he had a desire. His whole consuming desire was to please his Father. And we read that over and over in the Scriptures. He said, "I came not to do my own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me." And Jesus saying, a person like that, that in their whole goal and aim in life is to glorify God, he said there's not going to be any unrighteousness in him. And I appreciate these scriptures here, because I don't believe the Pharisees, they didn't have that divine call of God on their life. They didn't have that divine unction. The Holy Spirit wasn't working through their heart and their life. And they were seeking their own glory. And Jesus mentioned this different times. He said the things that they do were to be done to be seen of men. Their giving, their praying was to be seen of men. That was their motive. So if we're just, and I want to rightly divide this out, if we're just doing things to please people, if that's the motivating force of our life, if that's really what's behind in our spirit is to please people, when people aren't around, we're not going to be pleasing them. In other words, if that's our goal, and I believe the Pharisees had that, Jesus talked about in verse 19, he said, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law?" Here they were accusing Jesus of not, you know, many times they accused him of breaking the Sabbath and doing things, which was, you know, he healed on the Sabbath day, and they was accusing him of working on the Sabbath day. But Jesus turned around and said, "Moses gave you the law, but you're not keeping the law." And Jesus knew, he knew where their hearts were at. He knew that their hearts, but I was thinking about this thought of seeking for the glory of God in our lives and doing things to the glory of God. I believe that's important for us to be motivated. Now, there's a verse. Let's see if I can see it. In chapter 5, in verse 39, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Now, I believe Jesus, another place Jesus said that all men were to honor him, chapter 5 and verse 23. It says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Jesus taught to honor the Son, to recognize the Son. And I believe Jesus was grateful when people gave him thanks. I believe he was appreciative. You know, when one of the lepers came back and he thanked God. Jesus says, "Where are the nine? Weren't there 10 cleansed? Where are the 9 at?" So I believe Jesus recognized when people gave him honor, and I believe he appreciated when people gave him honor. But that wasn't the main thrust and the focus of his life. That's not what he was here for. That's what the Pharisees were. That was the main thing of their life. In another place he said, "How can ye believe?" In other words, Jesus saying, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another?" In other words, that was their main focus. That was their main motivation. And we recognize they had murder in their hearts. They had murder. They wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to do away with him. And Jesus spoke some things. But I'm thinking about living to God's glory and seeking God's glory in our life. We want to give God. We want to give him adoration and praise. And we want to give him glory and honor. In our lives. I believe that's very vital for us to live for God's glory. There's a verse in Paul mentioned, he talked about, he did not seek the honor and the glory of men. That was the Apostle Paul. And in Revelations it mentioned they repented not to give God glory. You know, repentance is kind of the first step, I believe, in the Christian life. It's the first place. But when we repent, when we acknowledge that I've done wrong, when we humble ourselves before God and we say, "I've sinned, I've failed," that gives glory and honor to God, that we acknowledge where we were at and where we're at now. It gives God glory when we acknowledge our humanity and his divinity. There, when who was the man that took the Babylonish?
Achan.
Yes, he stole the garments and the wedges of gold. He put it in his tent. And Joshua said, "Give glory now to God and confess. Give glory to God and confess." And he did. He confessed what he had done. He told, you know, after he was after he was pinpointed, you know, he finally confessed. Help us not to be that way, that we just have to be pinpointed down before we confess that God, the lot had fallen on him. God had had chosen him, and he finally did. He confessed. But that gives glory to God. The Pharisees never would, they never would confess. They never would. They didn't accept baptism, and Jesus talked about that. He asked them, he said, was John, was his ministry from heaven or was it of men? Good question. And they said, well, we can't answer you. Because a lot of the people believe that John was, even though he didn't perform a miracle like Jesus, they felt that he was called of God. They felt like he did God's work. But the Pharisees didn't receive. They didn't get. They didn't go down in the Jordan water and get. I believe they were too proud. They were too. They felt like they had it. They didn't need to follow. But Jesus mentioned. He said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another?" There were things in their heart that were keeping them from seeing truth and righteousness. And that's what this scripture, he said, if any man will do his will, he'll know of the doctrine. In other words, he's coming. In another place Jesus mentioned, he said in the third chapter, he said in the 20th verse, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So there were things in the Pharisees, in their hearts, in their minds, that were keeping them from being able to get a hold of the truth and to believe in it. In another place it talked about the Pharisees, it said that many of them believed, but they were afraid to confess him because they'd be put out of the synagogue. And then it used that little phrase down below. It said, because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. So their hearts, the Pharisees in general, I believe Nicodemus probably... I believe Nicodemus started coming to the light. He sought Christ out in the night. Maybe he didn't want to be seen in the day. But at least he sought him out and he conversed with him and he talked with him and Jesus told him, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. And in verse 3 of chapter 3, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, I don't know. You know, people, in the Sunday school lesson, it said both, they were, the net was cast and both bad and good were brought in. But some people's hearts are not in the place. They can hear the word. They can hear wonderful messages. I've been in services where people, the Spirit of God was working. There was conviction. There was movement in the service. But it was just like, and it's because of the heart. The heart was not seeking after God. The heart was not in the right place. When the heart becomes humble, and I believe God works with people to bring them. I believe God touches on people's gods that they're trusting in. The things that they look to for happiness and they're putting their stock in for fulfillment. I believe God touches those things in people's lives to bring them to a place of repentance, to help them to recognize that this is really not fulfilling my life. This is really not satisfying my inner man. And I believe the Lord works that way. I've seen that over and over, that people seem like things happen and all of a sudden they begin to realize what I thought I had, I don't have. So the Lord, I believe, is constantly working with people to bring them to the place of repentance and bring them to the place of wanting to know Him and to serve Him. I want to... That verse, chapter 5, he said in verse, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And I think that's kind of the same words that he's saying here in this scripture, that he that is speaking from himself, he's coming in his own name. He has his own agenda. Just as a side note, I remember one time somebody told me they listened to a message that somebody preached and they counted, I don't know how many eyes. It was a bunch. It was like 50 or 75. It was way up there. In one message, a minister said, I. And this person was marking marks every time they said I. And you know, it happened that way. There was failure in that person's life. And it was like they weren't really seeking God's glory. They were seeking their own glory. So Lord, help us today to guard our hearts, to watch our hearts, to seek. I know somebody one time, they've told me several times, they said, Bob, stay hid behind the cross of Christ. And I believe that's good admonition. You know, we don't want to just speak. We don't want to be in our own name. We don't want to come in our own strength. We don't want to just have things in our mind and this is what we're going to do. We want to be able to get something from God. To have something from the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to give us all messages. Not that we're all going to be a public preacher, but I believe the Lord gives us all messages. And they're not always just for us. They're to share with people. They're to share. When God opens the door, He wants us to be able to have something. He don't want us to be in our own name. He wants us to be in His name, seeking the will of God, being filled with the Spirit. And I believe when we're filled with the Spirit, it helps us to stay hid behind the cross of Christ more. You know, self is a... can be a very subtle thing. Self can be a very... something that we have to really guard and watch is self. Examining our why. Why? Examining our motive. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. When we want to do God's will more than our own will, I believe the Holy Spirit can speak through us. But when it's just us wanting to do our thing, then God is limited in what He can do. Anyway, I got this from these scriptures, and I have a desire, Lord, help us to seek the will of God above everything else in our life, that the Lord's will, that we would do things to His glory and to His honor. I believe that's a good place for us to dwell in and to live. There's another verse that says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Lord, help us to glorify your name and to honor your name, and help us to not allow flesh or self. You know, sometimes we can say things, words can get out pretty quick. We want them to be God's words. We want the Holy Spirit to speak through us. I believe that's so important for us as the body of Christ. That the Lord, you know, and Jesus mentioned to the, you know, they were accusing him of healing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus, in the 7th chapter, in the 24th, the 23rd verse, it says, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, so they were circumcising on the Sabbath day, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now, that's so easy for us to judge by the appearance of things. It's so easy for us to make assessments, and we can be so wrong. I mean, we can see things and we get in our mind what works out, but we need God to help us, that the Lord would give us discernment and help us to recognize truth, righteousness, and help us to be patient and be what we should be. He said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Lord, help us today not to just be so quick to judge. And the scripture mentions that over and over. It talks about waiting on God. Waiting on Him, looking to Him, receiving from Him. And I remember in the Old Testament, you remember they had a message to send. And this man wanted to run. And they told him, "So, well, you don't have the message." I want to run. And he took off running. You know, sometimes that can be us. Sometimes we can assess things so quickly and think, I know what has to be done. But if it's not really the Holy Spirit working and speaking to us, and the man that didn't have the message, he got there, he outran the man that had the message. He ran faster than he could run. But he didn't have the message. When he got there, you know, we're glad to see you. You made it. You ran all that way. You beat the other guy. Now what is the deal? Oh, I don't know. Lord, help us not to... I hope you get what I'm saying. It's just easy to judge by the appearance, and we say and do things that we shouldn't do. But if we wait until God starts burning in our hearts. You know, when the Lord talks to us, there's a, I don't know, you call it a burning. There's something that kind of stirs in your spirit, and you get things start coming together. And it's not you, it's not flesh, it's not self, but it's the Lord, it's the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God, you know, I've wondered so many times, and mentioned that in Sunday school, Jesus knew their thoughts, He knew their hearts, and what He spoke, He just had the words that were needed. But it was because of the Spirit that was in him. It wasn't his flesh. It wasn't his self. You know, when you read the Pharisees, the strong language that Jesus used, it wasn't just because he wanted to put the Pharisees in their place. I believe he loved the Pharisees. I believe he wanted the Pharisees to be saved. I believe he used strong language to get their attention. You know, he told them in one place, he said, I wanted to get this verse too. In chapter 8 and verse 47, it says, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now that's what Jesus told the Pharisees. And he has a confrontation with them. They talked about him being Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. And Jesus, in verse 34 of the 8th chapter, he says, Verily, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I know you that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Whosoever committeth sin, this word commit is talking about, I looked it up and it says to make or do, abide, agree, continue, exercise, fulfill. And the diaglot in another verse similar to this one, it says practice. Practice. Whosoever practices sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But they were being influenced by Satan. They had murder. And you know, it says it uses the word see and it uses the word hear. But it's kind of a spiritual, you know, it's an inward thing that they're getting. Their hearts were being filled with murder by Satan. They was following what their father was showing them, the way he was leading them. And then in verse 44, he says, You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. That's pretty strong language. That's... But he was telling them, I don't believe he picked fights with people, verbal confrontations. But he spoke the truth through the Holy Spirit. And it says, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, in the gospel, in the books of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he brings out this very same thought. He said, He that hears us is of God, and he that doesn't hear us is not of God. I thought, wow, that's pretty, like, who am I? You know, to make a comment like that, if you hear me, you're hearing God. If you don't hear me, you're not hearing God. That's quite a statement to make. But what I believe it's really saying is that what John is saying is the same thing that Jesus said here. Jesus was of the Spirit. He was of God. And he had God's Spirit upon him. And people were not receiving his word. Some of them were. Some of them were receiving God. Some of them were coming to the light. Some of them were drawing close to God in their hearts. And they were of God. But those that were fighting and pushing against it were not of God. But it's because of God's Word. And it's nothing of us. It's what the Scriptures, when people reject the Word of God in whatever way, when they turn it down, the Scriptures, they turn around, turn away from gospel truth or principles that are taught by the Word of God. You know, they may say, I love God, but in essence, they're denying Him. They're not of God because they're not receiving God's words. Anyway, I felt very challenged to, Lord, help me to hear God's words and help me to live to Your glory and to Your honor. And may all self be crucified. May self that is subtle, may it be put down, that God's glory. And I thought, you know, self has to be put down. Sometimes self will pull us back and sometimes self pushes us out. You know, sometimes self will keep us back from saying things that God wants us to say. Self will do that. And then sometimes self will push us to say things that God doesn't want us to say. So let's be on our guard, be watchful and prayerful, and let's live to glorify His name and to honor His name. Appreciate your attention this morning.